lagi. A little less like me. Oh, to feed the beggar on the street. Love to be your hands and feet. Freely give what I receive. Lord, help me be. I want to put you first above all else. Love my neighbor as myself. In the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be. A little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Became sin, you know sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Jesus Messiah. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, yeah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
Hallelujah.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazareth. Sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Woo! Isn't that good? It is good to come to house and be in the house of the Lord and worship and just to sing his praises. Welcome. My name is Jason. Those online, welcome. We're glad you're here. I have the privilege and honor to be a senior pastor at Hope on the Beach Church. We are delighted you're here. We really believe that God has brought you here, and we want to just recognize you here as a gift of God. That God has brought you here to speak to you, and maybe it's in that worship music or in the Word, or just quietly in His sanctuary here at the beach, where He's just going to just have you slow down. And so I invite you, whether you're watching online or you're here, just lean into His presence. Lean into Him. As we gather here, just a reminder, this is a no judgment zone. That means, man, it's okay to worship in a way that helps you just to connect with Jesus, because Jesus is wanting to connect with you. And so whatever is meaningful for you, if you just want to take it back and sit back, or you want to stand up, raise your hands. If you even want to dance, just don't kick sand on us. That's all we ask, all right? No judgment, but there are some boundaries, all right? And, but, you know, our heart is that, you know, God's heart, He just wants to awaken your heart to Him. He wants it to just fill with the abundant life that he comes to bring us, because he is the only one who can really satisfy our real need in our hearts. Amen. In your worship folder, there is a connection card that looks like this. If you're joining us online, we'd love to hear from you. Just kind of put in the comments there that you're listening in. We'd love to be able to recognize you could fill that out. It's great to hear where God has brought you from. And be able to just kind of welcome you and recognize your presence here with us. Today, in the church calendar, it is a day of Pentecost, hence the red, if that's why. But it's a day that we celebrate the Holy Spirit. And we just recognize, man, that incredible pouring out of the Holy Spirit that moved in the hearts and lives of average, ordinary people that spread to us today, generations and generations. And how God's power and God's strength kept moving and kept shaping hearts and lives and touching lives and bringing healing and restoration, but most importantly, salvation that Jesus earned on the cross. And we're excited that at the end of the service, we're going to have a baptism today. And man, if that's never been part of your journey, let's talk. Let's talk. This is too significant to miss it. And so I want to encourage you to pray about that even as we begin. But today we're gonna lean into a great story about faith, about trusting in God, and Pastor Ray's gonna believe it. We're going through Mark and looking at his stories and asking these questions that I think Mark is answering as he's writing. He's answering these questions people have about Jesus that they can really fully put their trust and see that he truly is the Lord and Savior who he is. So I want to invite us that we can begin our worshiping together as we rise and begin in prayer together. God, it is so good to be able to gather here with you. And on a hot day, this breeze is awesome. So praise, thank you, God. But I pray that this breeze of your Holy Spirit, Lord, it would bring, man, your breath, bring greater life in us. Breathe into our lungs, bring into our hearts. As you said to David, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Lord, create a new heart where there is places that it's hard, where there's places, God, man, where there's just unforgiveness, maybe for myself or for others, where there's places, man, I just got some resentment, some hurt, some brokenness. God, come. God, maybe where there's some addictions, free me. Take the chains of slavery off and let the Spirit that gives freedom and love and gentleness and kindness and the patience and your peace. God, we invite you here. We recognize you and we invite you to speak and move in us. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. You conquered the grave. You free every captive. Break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom. Awaken the light. Oh Jesus, our Savior. Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You've been faithful. And amen, you will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done a great thing. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great. Father, we raise our praise to you. We know you are here. Move as you move in our midst. Break those chains that bind us. Mend the hearts that are broken. Heal the bodies that need your healing touch, Heavenly Father. We know you are here amongst us. We love you, and we're so grateful for your faithfulness to us.
Way
maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop.
Hallelujah!
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. We're making miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way making miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One of my favorite scriptures is that God inhabits the praise of his people. Do you believe that? In the Psalms, God inhabits the praise of his people. That means when you're praising him, he comes down to you. He says, what do I hear my children saying? There's another scripture where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus is here. We are gathered in his name. There's another one that says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. This morning I would like to have you draw close to God and have God draw close to you. And that this morning may be a life-changing moment for you. Can we pray? Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for a glorious morning as this, as we stand on the sand that you created, feel the wind that you made, as we look at the sky and hear the ocean. We're on sensory overload, Lord, because we know you are here. And this is who you are, the Creator. And you've created us for this moment that we would be here to hear your word, to hear what you would have to say to us this morning. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Blow your winds through us all. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I just got back from Texas, and I don't know if you've ever driven Interstate 10 toward Houston, but it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. We got almost run off the road three times. And as we were going through Houston, or toward Houston, there was a man pulling a trailer, and he hit one of those orange barrels, those construction barrels. Well, the barrel went off to the right. The truck pulling the trailer went off in the ditch, and we kind of cut through the center. Our angels were working overtime. Well, as we got closer to Houston, there was an 18-wheeler. You ever seen the truck of an 18, and he's got two other 18s attached to it as far as the tractor goes? So he was hauling those, and they're all at an angle, and then the lane shifted because of construction. And he was in the passing lane, and we were on the one lane going through a concrete barrier, and all three 18s cabs tilted like this. And the wheel of one of them caught the back of his tire, and smoke started pouring out. We had no place to go. So he had to stop to fix his load, I'm sure. And then the last one was this. We were driving through Houston, and we got involved in a road race. There were four Mustangs that went around us doing about 140 in and out of traffic for a Sunday morning race last Sunday. And
That was fun too. I told my wife Debbie, I says, don't change lanes. Don't change lanes. Just stay where you're at. They'll go around you. And so God is moving. God is with you. He's answering prayer. Even when you don't ask him, he's answering prayer. So this morning, I'd like you to do a favor for me. I've got something I would like you to do for me. Okay? But before I ask you what I need you to do for me, I have a question for you. When someone asks you to do something, how do you decide whether or not you're going to do it? A lot of cases, you'll decide very quickly. Like, can you pick up something from the store? Can you mail a letter for me? If you're going by the post office, can you mail a letter for me? I'm kind of short of cash right now. Can you loan me $5? Instinctively, you will say yes or no. But what's behind your decision whether or not you're going to do something? Whether someone asks you to help them, your brain goes through two questions. Well, number one, do I want to do it? And number two, am I able to do it? And how you answer those questions a lot of time depends on who is asking. You know that. Who's asking me the question? And what's behind and what's being asked of you. For example, if your neighbor asks you to clean out their gutters and they have a two-story house and you're afraid of heights, and you say, I'd love to help, but I'm afraid of heights. You're willing, but you're not able. And sometimes you're able, but you're not willing. Is that correct? That's the grid that you use. And when you ask someone to help you, you may ask them to do something for you. And a lot of times we ask the same question. Is that person willing? Is that person able to help me? And in our gospel lesson for this morning from the book of Mark, we find a man who thinks in these categories, willing and able. And he's a man who is in great need. Nowadays, I don't even have to say the word. When you're waiting for a diagnosis, you don't want to hear the C word. In today's lesson, and in that generation of people, it was the L word they were afraid of. And the Bible gives quarantine instructions for those who are diagnosed with the L word. It's called leprosy. From Leviticus 13, it says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Kind of reminds you of the COVID lockdown, doesn't it? The quarantine. If you were diagnosed with COVID-19, the CDC says you must isolate yourself at home, wear a mask around people for at least 10 days, and then after that, you need to get retested, and you're able to go back once you have a negative test, right? We wouldn't want to go through that again. But let me take a moment to describe to you what leprosy is like. So let's start with the leopard's condition. First, the physical, number one, the physical effects. Leprosy begins with pains in your joints. Sometimes I wonder, do I have leprosy? My joints hurt sometimes. Begins with pains in your joints, and then patches would start appearing on your skin, and the patches would turn into nodules or lumps on your face. It's a sure death sentence. It was horrifying. The lumps on your face would grow so big that you would become unrecognizable. Eventually, they would break open, these lumps, and then a foul smell would come out. So you couldn't do anything about the smell because it was all about all these sores breaking open. Your eyelashes would fall off, and your eyebrows would fall off. Your vocal cords would have also nodules on them, so your voice would become hoarse. Breathing would become difficult, and there'd be a loss of feeling in your limbs, which was the worst part of leprosy, because if you touched something hot, and let's say you twisted an ankle, you didn't know you twisted an ankle because there was no pain in your ankles. And so if you twisted an ankle or broke a bone in your leg, you would just walk crooked. Imagine a group of people who thought pain is a good thing. The lepers welcomed the ability to feel pain, so they knew what not to do. I remember losing my sense of smell during COVID, and I thought, well, this is a bad thing. It's a bad thing. I can't tell if there's smoke in the house. And as bad as the physical effects of leprosy were, number two, the social effects were even worse. In order to protect others from the disease of leprosy, sick people were quarantined. And just as we read, they lived alone. They dwelled outside the camp. And as we know, God said at the beginning of the book of Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. From the moment we are born, any nurses here, NICU nurse, we need to be touched. Babies need to be touched. We need to be touched. We need to be able to greet our family with a hug or a kiss. We need to be able to sit around a table with our friends and eat together, see their faces, hear their voices. A handshake. From the beginning, since we've been born, we needed to be touched. All of this is over for the leper. He was an untouchable. Anything they touch would be considered contaminated. That means you can't go to the temple. You can't go to worship. You can't ask the priest to sacrifice anything for your sins. It was a horrible thing. Depression, anxiety, anger, loss of self-esteem. But it gets worse. The leper died alone, not surrounded by his family. He died alone. So that's the condition in the future of this leper who comes to beg healing from Jesus, which brings me to the letter B in your notes, the leper's request, his question. So for our text, it says this from the book of Mark. And a man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him. And he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately leprosy left him and he was cleansed. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." I looked up another translation and it says this, "Lord, are you willing to make me clean? Are you willing to make me clean?" Why did he think that Jesus may not be willing to heal him? Well, number one, the leper didn't question as whether or not Jesus could do something. He believed Jesus could. Unbelief was not his problem. Number two, he wasn't sure if Jesus was willing to do this. You see, the leper had faith. His problem was that he wasn't sure if Jesus would want to do something about it. After all, look at the Jewish priests. They were no help. They showed no mercy. You know, people today sometimes, I'm sorry, see Christians and say, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want a part of that. Sometimes we are such a bad example. And this man was avoided by the church people, shunned him, ignored him, ridiculed him, sometimes threw sticks and stones at him to drive him away, made him feel pretty unworthy. But Jesus isn't like that. He's perfect in every way. And sometimes we are such bad examples. And this man was probably thinking, you know, I'm pretty disgusting. I'm not worth very much, Jesus. I know that you have the power to make me clean. And I'll understand if you don't want to help me. Who could blame you? Look, I'm sorry I even bothered you. I think I'll just go now. I'm not worth your time. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. At a place where you know Jesus can do something in your life, but is he willing? I got problems. Maybe Jesus doesn't want to help me. Or maybe you know somebody that said, you know, if I go to church, the ceiling would surely fall down on me. I'm glad we're outside. If you know someone like that, then bring them to church with you next week, because next week's sermon is about some friends who brought a man to church and they ripped the roof off to get him in. That's in Mark chapter 2. I wonder what the crowd must be thinking as the leper falls down at the feet of Jesus. I can only imagine people's reaction as this dramatic scene unfolds. First, they were horrified. Look, it's a leopard. They must anger. What is he doing here? He shouldn't be here. They probably shrank back to cover their nose and their mouth. They didn't want to get it. Perhaps others glanced around for a stick or a rock to throw at him. Get that guy out of here. Others stood in silence, wondering what Jesus would do. How would Jesus respond to this man? Everyone knew if you touched a leper, you would be unclean. Yet Jesus reaches out to him and he touches him. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus healed the leper with the touch of his hand. And now, years ago, I knew a man that he and I had long discussions about this. He got into the name it, claim it theology. And he told me that it was a lack of faith to pray, if it is your will, heal me. And he said we should claim our healing, demand it from God. And I said to him, isn't that kind of being arrogant to God? God, you will heal me. I demand it of you. I pointed out this healing that took place in the book of Mark. And I said, look at this man's posture. Look at his actions. In humility, he knelt down to Jesus. He acknowledged Jesus' sovereignty, if you are willing. In other words, you may not be. He said to Jesus what he knew Jesus could do. You can make me clean. He had faith. In fact, you'll never find this name it, claim it idea in Scripture. In fact, I got a verse in your bulletin from James 4:13. It says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Number three, God doesn't always answer our prayers for healing in the affirmative. You know, St. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, had an illness. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that Paul writes, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul knew that God knew something about him, that he should handle this by grace. And even though God didn't heal St. Paul, Paul would later write, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Another translation translates it this way, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. Jesus himself prayed, if it is possible, that time in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went beyond and he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. I recently saw a Christian plaque on a wall, and it said, and now listen carefully to what it says, faith is not believing God can, but knowing that he will. And I looked at the lady and I said, I kind of believe just the opposite, that faith is not believing God will, but knowing that he can. When Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't heal every sick person. And I view God's answers to prayer somewhat of a traffic light. This is my children's object lesson, so kids pay attention. If you've got a traffic light, imagine a traffic light. The top light is what color? Red. It says what? Stop. No. God will answer no. And then the middle light is what color? Yellow. And sometimes God says, yeah, be cautious about this. Wait. The answer will come in my time. I'll teach you patience. But the answer is coming. And sometimes the light is green, which means yes. And I've seen answer to prayer, like on our trip, God answered our prayers. We prayed for safe travel when we went to Texas. And God said, okay, I'll give you safe travel. And we thanked him for it. But lastly, sometimes on the traffic light, he has a turn arrow. You know what that means? God says, I got a better answer for you. Pay attention. Go this way. The point is that God always answers our prayers according to His will. That's why God, Jesus, decided to heal the leper. It was His will to do so. God's will is for what is good for us. But what we think is good for us isn't always what God thinks is good for us. Isn't that true? And from my experience, there are times when I don't understand why God said no. I don't understand it. And then later on, yeah, now I get it. And I'll tell you, there's some things in my life that I probably won't understand until I get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'll go, wow, now I see it. Now I know why you said no, Lord. It's kind of like when you were a child and mom said no. Or you were a teenager, mom said no. Now you're a parent and you look back, you go, well, I understand that now. Like I said earlier, Jesus didn't heal everyone, but those He did heal are a picture of our future resurrected body. That's when the real healing will come. Yes, we should pray for those who are sick. The Bible says pray for those who are sick. We should ask God to heal. And it's right to pray that way. I pray that prayer every day for people. But understand, these healings are temporary. Remember Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead? That's good news. Bad news, he had to die again for the second time. Job wrote this. I know for certain that in my flesh I will see God. Even after I've been dead for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, I know that in my flesh I will see God. The healing comes when we're resurrected on the last day. And St. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship's in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies, and they will be like His glorious body. Are you looking forward to that? Sometimes I feel like I need a total body transplant. You ever feel that way? That'll happen one day. That's the promise. That's His promise, our hope. It's what we have to look forward to. That brings us to our next fill-in-the-blank question, C. So what is God's main purpose for this healing? And He, Jesus, sternly warned him, that's the leper, and immediately sent him away. And He said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourselves to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas. And they were coming to him from everywhere. You know, Jesus had compassion on this leper, healed him, restored him. But Jesus saw a greater purpose for this healing. And he wanted to see happen. It was to be a witness to the priests as a testimony to them. They would be astonished when this man appeared to them. Astonished. They would be wondering what to do. Going through their scrolls in their libraries, getting them down from the shelves, asking, what does this mean? Nothing like this has ever happened since Elijah. That's the record says that the last person to be cleansed of leprosy was way back then. Jesus was giving them a chance to put two and two together. This healing from leprosy would be a sign that the Messiah has come. Everyone in Israel, especially the priests, knew that leprosy was a symbol of mankind's sin, a visible symbol of man's sin. And they knew there was only one who had the power to clean and cleanse a leper. That was the Messiah. Isaiah had predicted that when the Messiah came, he would do miracles. The eyes of the blind would be opened. The lame would leap like the lame would leap and the tongue of the dumb would sing and the lepers would be cleansed. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus said, tell John this. What you see and hear, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. The healing of this leper was a sign that the Messiah had come. And the Lord wanted the priest to see this as a witness to who he was. But the leper didn't do what he was told. That witness never happened. The priest would have to wait a few days later, Mark chapter 2, when he healed a paralytic. And as a result of the leper disobeying Jesus, it says Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed in unpopulated areas. This teaches us that, number one, when Jesus freed the leper from his prison of isolation, he took his place. Now Jesus is the outcast, not the leper. Number two, Mark began the story with Jesus on the inside, the leper on the outside. But at the end of the story, Jesus is on the outside in unpopulated areas. You know what that means? Jesus traded places with the leper. Which brings us to the main point of today's message. D, Jesus also traded places with us. It's a beautiful insight. I can't help think about 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is our memory verse for today. It's speaking of Jesus. Would you say this with me? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He traded places with us. And as bad as leprosy is, there's a disease that's far worse than leprosy. Leprosy ended when the leper died, but this disease goes on for an eternity. Jesus spoke of this when he said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." We have been diagnosed with the dreaded S word, sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that not only scripturally, but we know that personally, don't we? Ever met a perfect person? Yeah, you probably married them and then you found out they weren't. So, like leprosy, sin affects us socially and physically. Socially, St. Paul puts it this way. Sin causes sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, just to name a few. We try to fix all this, don't we? Through counseling, therapy, prescription drugs. If that doesn't work, we'll incarcerate you. We'll put you in prison. And you would think that over the years we'd be making progress toward perfection, but we haven't, have we? And physically, sin causes sickness, mentally, physically. We all age. In the aging process, the consequences of aging is decaying body and one day physical death. We're still looking for the fountain of youth. Yeah, we've made some advances medically, but the statistics still tell us 100 out of 100 people still die. But worst of all, sin does something to us spiritually. It separates us from God and causes us spiritual death. So you ready for some good news? Jesus traded places with us. He took our filthy corruption, our nasty sins in exchange for complete forgiveness of sins. He washed us as white as snow. Jesus suffered outside the city gates to make people holy by his blood. And like the leper, Jesus died alone. Totally alone. My God, why have you forsaken me? And as Jesus healed the leper with the touch of his hand, Jesus healed us when he stretched out his hands on the cross. Jesus is the only one who can cleanse us from our sinful conditions. And through faith in Christ, you can be clean. Do you believe this? People in Jesus' day greatly overestimated the importance of physical healing. And they underestimated the importance of spiritual healing. And because of this man's disobedience, huge crowds flocked to Jesus for physical healing. And the work of Jesus wasn't supposed to end with the leper's healing. Jesus told him to do his part. Go to the priest, give testimony. And when we were born again, it wasn't supposed to end with our quiet rejoicing. It continues with our testimony, our witness. Are you glad that you've been forgiven? Are you glad there's a heaven waiting for you? Are you glad that one day you'll be reunited with all those who have died and gone before you that believe in Jesus? Then share your joy. Tell people you meet about Jesus that they don't want to miss heaven. And it's as easy as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus did not call his followers to live in a quarantined zone. Think of it this way. Imagine a hospital where the one rule of the hospital is no germs are allowed inside. Imagine a doctor saying, it's been a successful day. I'm not infected. My patients were loaded with filthy germs, but I kept them all outside. They all died, but I didn't touch any of them, so I didn't get affected. You know, we're not called to avoid infection. We're called to save souls, to touch hurting people. You know, the church is a hospital for sinners like us. We live in a world where sin, where suffering and pain, we look at it as being contagious. So we learn to keep our distance. We get too close to someone, we might get infected by their pain. It may not be convenient, it may not be comfortable. It may make me miserable. However, only when we get close enough can we wash the feet of other people. And this is where you come in. Because you've heard the good news that Jesus died for you, because you've heard the good news that all your sins are forgiven, washed as white as snow, as far as the east is to the west, you're able to share with others the truth that can set them free. It only happens if you're willing. It takes a lot of courage to reach out and touch a leper, to befriend someone who's untouchable. But at the end of the day, I can't think of anything else a greater accomplishment or in reward than to be a catalyst for the love of God to flow through me to some other person that sets them free. There was a man named William James who once wrote, "There is no greater use of life than to spend it for something that will outlast it." By dedicating your life to something that will outlast you, your life can have an eternal effect on someone else. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit filled him as he fills us today. And because his disciples were faithful in obeying Jesus' command, you're here this morning. If you are willing, you can bring healing and wholeness to others by sharing the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, I started this sermon by saying, I've got a favor to ask of you. I'd like you to do something for me. And my question is in your last fill in the blank. Now it's your turn. Are you willing to tell someone about Jesus? Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we hear the noise of the Gulf, as we feel the wind blowing against our skin, the reality of you is surrounding us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to open the eyes of the spiritually blind by the power of the Holy Spirit in sharing your good news, the Word of God that changes lives. And as Jesus healed the leper, may you continue to heal people spiritually and eternally for the sake of the gospel. Use us, Lord. We are willing. Open the doors for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us join in prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Ray, for that word. And what a great reminder. I mean, God is willing and able, and he will enable to come into the world of sin and be the Savior. And he showed it over and over again to prove it again. so we not have doubts and fear, but we could respond with faith, because he came for us, that personal thing, that one person, just like he did for the leopard, he did for us, he did for those around us. And it's what we give praise, but also what Ray was saying and what the leopard did, it responds with action with our life. And one of the ways we practice our faith is really in our giving and tithing. I mean, we always got to wrestle with these questions. Are we willing? Are we able? And really, God, money really talks to where our heart is. That's what the Bible says. And so God has called us to tithing and giving, to really to just be a heart check. Are you willing to practice faith and be obedient to my word? Are you able? And so as we activate our faith, we do that in our worship, to say, God, we trust you. We're investing in something that's beyond us, that's you, that will continue beyond us. So we are fed, but not just us, but the others, and your kingdom may grow and grow in the hearts of others. And so in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope, and you can use the text to give or go to the website. And those are opportunities you have to continue your worship in your giving. Also, I want to pull your attention to the connection card. It's in your worship folder, the blue one. You can turn to the back side and share what you're celebrating today. Again, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to gather right here at the beach. Actually, probably right over here behind me. And if you would love to gather with us, we invite you to do that. If you have not been baptized and would like to be baptized, if this is the first time, man, you have confirmed your faith in Christ, let's pray for you. Let's celebrate with you. And let us share about what baptism is, about this incredible gift of the Spirit that seals that faith, that gives us promises of faith that we can trust in. No matter how we feel, we know we've been adopted to the kingdom of God and given his Spirit and faith. And so also, you see, we have large life group, which is a large Bible study that we're having together on Tuesday nights. You're welcome to come join any of those, and you have a chance to sign up. Also, this is a more of a family approach, so if you want to help out with the dinner, we do a dinner and a Bible study. We kicked off last week. We had a great study. And this week, I'm really excited because I get the lead. No, I'm just kidding. It was really awesome, so I encourage you to do that. We have youth group. Prayer tent, if I want to just encourage, a prayer tent is an opportunity for us to be present and to just bless people with prayer. And it's amazing. They were out here yesterday, and the conversations they had, and the people they met. And so if you want to be like, hey, let me just walk with you, let me just be there, let me see what it's like, or if you want to come and walk alongside and actually become a partner with that, please let us know. We'd love to help you with that, and it's a great way that we get to share the word together. Well, of course, we'd love to pray for your needs and other things. If you're interested, let us know. We'd love to connect with you. So as we continue our worship, we invite you to rise, and ushers will come around with buckets, and you can put your offering envelope and your connection card in there.
if I have you, I have enough. 'Cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for moving in our midst. We are so grateful for your Son, Jesus, and for your word, Father. Walk with us as we try to be lights in this dark world. Help us share your word. We love you. We thank you for that mercy you renewed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now as you go, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.